About Yeshua's second coming and the end of the age. I don't know how many of you have been thinking about what's happening in the world today, not only the radical weather patterns, the whole of the East Coast has had its geography changed through these radical storms. I really believe that God is moving and trying to tell men and women and children everywhere to repent and turn to Him. I believe that God is speaking in a powerful way. I was listening to a message by Judy's father, Haskell. I have numbers of his messages. And he was talking about the fact that there's a New Testament department at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. They make a study of the New Testament. And there's a Dr. David Flusser, who's the head of that department. And he made the statement that we Jewish people should pay careful attention to what Yeshua, Jesus, has said as recorded in the New Testament. And he gave the reason why. He said, I believe that if you follow carefully what he has said, he makes a point of outlining the events at the end of the age. And I believe that what's happening tells us we're at the end of the age. Now, this is a man who is a New Testament scholar, but he's a Jewish man. He's also a scholar in the Tanakh. And he comes up with a statement, I believe that what's happening shows us we're at the end of the age. Usually, you don't hear that from a Jewish scholar. I was thinking of God trying to encourage us in the midst of tough circumstances. This is a psalm that Gracie's father often used. He's with the Lord now. It's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Gracie's father was very adept at the Hebrew, and he said another translation could be for an ever-present help in trouble, easy to be found when in a tight spot. I thought that's a good one. Therefore, we will not fear. Now listen to what it says we would not fear about. Put yourself in this position, because Gracie's cousin, who's with the Lord now, was in the midst of one of the worst earthquakes in Central America, and he described it. In fact, he took care of rescue efforts there. And he says, nothing is more frightening than being in the middle of a terrible earthquake. Japan just had one that was 8 on the Richter scale. 7 is bad enough, but 8 is unbelievable. Therefore, we will not fear, will we? Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. It says, we will not fear. There's a famous writer of religious literature, maybe you've heard of him, named Max Lucado. How many have heard of Max Lucado or read some? Gracie and I have read his stuff lately, and we really like the way he describes things. And he said that the most oft-repeated commandment in the New Testament is, fear thou not. Don't fear. Yeshua said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. The world may sign the nations sign a peace treaty, which often doesn't mean anything because people violate it. But when Yeshua said, peace I leave with you, he's talking about the peace that comes from the Ruach HaKodesh, God's Holy Spirit. And when you think that it shows Yeshua's peace in the worst storms, this storm is brewing on the Sea of Galilee, and it's the kind that makes fishermen afraid. They're afraid they're going to drown, and he's asleep in the boat. He's saying, even in the worst storm, when you have my peace, you will be tranquil. Yeshua was facing the worst torture man has ever devised, the crucifixion on the cross. And yet he gave the upper room discourse. And also today we're going to consider what's called the Olivet Discourse that he gave from the Mount of Olives. I want you to know that when he excoriates his own people, his Jewish people, that he is not pronouncing hatred. Some have tried to say that the New Testament is full of anti-Semitism. Well, let me tell you something. The New Testament isn't any more filled with anti-Semitism than the Tanakh, the Old Testament. God is not anti-Semitic, and he's not anti-Gentile. God is anti-sin, whether it comes from Jewish people or Gentile people. It's all about God's being against sin, but willing to offer himself as an atonement and stretch out his hand of forgiveness to all people, Jew and Gentile. And there's never been anyone who has been responsible for spreading the news of God and his outreach to a fallen mankind like Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, who is really responsible for Tanakh, that's the Old Testament, and the New Testament being spread around our nations. And he says something about the gospel of the kingdom, how many people it will be preached to before the end comes. And we'll look at that today. But then he mourns over his own people because the scripture tells it like it is. You know, when you hear these hero stories from Hollywood, they like to tell you all the goodies about these heroes, but they don't tell you the discord and the weakness. But the scripture tells it like it is about mankind. And Yeshua said at this point, this is Matthew 23:37 through 39. Then Yeshua said, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. He's mourning over his people. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. Now, early on, he said, my house, meaning the temple, was to be a house of prayer for all people. My house. Here he's ready to leave. He's ready to walk away from what was his house. And he says, now look what it is. Without the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, without the presence of the Messiah, it's your house. Is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, and he quotes Psalm 118, verse 26, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And someday Israel as a nation will say that. They will look up unto me whom they have pierced, and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, and so all Israel will be saved. For the Redeemer shall come to Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Yeshua left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to the buildings. And as you read these portions of scripture that are repeated in the other Gospels, in Mark and Luke, they were telling him what beautiful stones are in this building and how gorgeous it is. And you know, out in the world, it's like that, people raving about beautiful places of worship. And I remember what Yeshua said when the woman of Samaria in John 4 tried to raise a question about the proper place to worship. She said, look, we worship on Mount Gerizim. You worship in Jerusalem. What's the proper place to worship? He says, the time is coming and now is, when neither here in Gerizim or in Yerushalayim will be the proper place to worship, but men will worship the Father in Ruach and Spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is Ruach, God is Spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. What is God seeking for? Religious people? People who are going through ceremonies? God is looking for worshipers. Those who honestly worship him in truth and spirit and who love him with all their hearts, because God has done a work of deliverance in their hearts. And he says, you see all these buildings? Now, Herod, who was born before Yeshua came to earth, but lived during the first century, he redesigned the second temple so that it was perhaps the most beautiful building in his whole kingdom. But Yeshua, being a prophet and a prophet of truth, tells it just the way it will be. Now, Moses said in Devarim, in Deuteronomy 18, that the way to tell who is a true prophet is to look at his prophecy. And if the thing follows not, nor comes to pass, that is a word which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Yeshua said, do you see all these things, these beautiful buildings? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Gracie and I were both in Jerusalem in 1998. And we visited the temple site, the Temple Mount. And you can still see the stones, the huge stones lying there where Titus marched in with his Roman army and destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem. Not one stone will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Yeshua was sitting on the Mount of Olives, now here comes what's called the Olivet Discourse. The disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, he doesn't tell them exactly when this would happen, the destruction of the temple. They ask for that. He doesn't tell them the exact time. It's interesting to note, approximately 40 years after Yeshua gave his life as an atonement for sin, 40 is a Bible testing period. The flood lasted 40 days and 40 nights. 40 years Israel was in the wilderness. Yeshua fasted 40 days and 40 nights prior to his being tested by Satan. 40 years after the atoning sacrifice of Yeshua in 70 AD, the Roman hordes under Titus marched into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and the city. And many of our people were slaughtered. Many were taken captive, were made slaves. So Yeshua points to the end of the age and what's going to happen to the professing church. Dr. Flusser said that one of the great things that will occur at the end of the age will be the apostasy of the Christian church. Even now, people are denying the Lord who say they're Christians and who are turning away. And Yeshua answered this. Now, this is primary at the end of the age. And everyone who names the name of the Lord should be on the lookout for this and should be into the word enough and prayer to know when a thing is true and when it's false. Watch out that no one deceives you. Deception is going to be paramount. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Mashiach, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And listen to what happens to people who profess the Lord. He had said, the time is coming when they who kill you will think that they're doing service to God. We hear these teachers of the prosperity gospel running all over the United States preaching how wonderful and rich you can be. And Yeshua said something else. He said that we as believers have to be willing, for the sake of truth and living for the truth, to suffer for the Lord. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. We should listen to what he's saying. Because if we can't stay true to the Lord now, in times when we aren't persecuted, then we will have a hard time being faithful when the persecution comes. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. He's talking about people who once professed following the Lord. He's telling it like it is. He's telling us you'd better be ready, and you had better know what it is to be totally devoted and have your heart set on following him no matter what and being faithful to him. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, it's like germs going through the air. You can't see it, but this wickedness is taking over in people's minds and heart. The love of most will grow cold. The love of most. About whom is he speaking? If you never had the love for the Lord, it can't grow cold. This is talking about people who once professed faith and believe. This is what is going to happen. Now is the time to be strengthened spiritually, to be totally dedicated so that this, when this time comes, we will not fall away. The love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. According to 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel, which means good news, is how the Messiah died for our sins according to the scripture, according to the Tanakh, according to the Old Testament, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We believe in our hearts that Yeshua is alive, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, as David wrote in the 110th Psalm, Ne'um Adonai Ladoni. Adonai, the Lord God of Israel, made a prophetic statement to the man whom David calls my Lord. It's the Messiah, it's Yeshua. Adonai said to my Lord, to Mashiach, Yeshua, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Yeshua is at the right hand of the Father, pouring out the Ruach HaKodesh. What we need to ask God in prayer, God, pour more of your Ruach in my heart so that I will be faithful now. And when this time comes upon us, and it may be soon, I will not fail you. Famous director, movie director, just passed away. He was 83. His name is Mike Nichols. He's been married to Diane Sawyer, who is a famous anchor for one of the networks. And it showed him on the news being interviewed by a certain famous person. I'm not sure who this man was, but he asked him a question. He said, "Mike, if there is a heaven and you should die and go there, what would you want to hear God say?" He said, "I would want to hear him say, 'Welcome, Mike and Diane.'" You want to know what I want him to I want to hear him say to me and to all of you? "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. Enter into the joy of your Lord, because then everything else will be behind us. Eternity will be ahead. I want to live with him for eternity and hear his well done. And I know it's not going to take a huge bank account on my part. It's going to take a total commitment and faithfulness to him to walk this life and glorify him." And in the midst of all of this hardship, and you can read the rest of it in chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew, in the midst of all of this hardship, with all of these people denying the Lord, people who once said they believed and turning aside, there are going to be faithful ones who will go and take this good news of the kingdom of God, the rule of God in the person of Messiah, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life to the whole world, because they will stand true to the Lord. And this gospel that Messiah died for our sins according to Tanakh, the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, and he lives to be our Lord and King forever. He's the fulfillment of God's promise to David, that never a man would fail from the throne of David. Ask any Jewish scholar now, who's on the throne of David? Yeshua is on the throne of David. The book of Matthew begins with the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it ends with Yeshua as the bright and morning star, the son of David. And it says he's coming soon. And we believe that. And when he's coming and he appears, I want to be ready. And it says every eye will see him, and they also who pierced him. And the book of Zechariah says concerning the people of Israel, they shall look up unto him whom they have pierced, and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And Paul says, and so all Israel will be saved, for the Redeemer shall come to Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Everybody who turns to him now and receives him as Messiah and King is immersed in his name for the forgiveness of sins, receives the Ruach HaKodesh, God's Spirit, and Chaye Olam, eternal life. What more could you ask for? That's God's free gift and God's love to us, Jew and Gentile alike. Now for you who...
Okay, I pushed the button. Yes, I pushed the button. There's a button for everything. Notice the new modern technology, there's a button for everything, including microphones that have no cords. I was really, one of the things that really struck, the biggest thing that struck me when I was reading the section from Matityahu, from Matthew, was the section in 24:12 says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And don't you see that, especially these days? People, you look on the news and you see what people are doing around the world, and people start thinking, we have to hate those people. Those people are mean, we have to get them. Don't you see that happening all over? The news looks at, goes here, goes there across the globe, and you see what human beings are doing, and your first response is, we have to hate those people. Those people are bad. But one of the signs of the end is, because of the lawlessness has increased, there are bad people, and they are getting more. That is true. But it says, the love of most people will grow cold. They will see those very real evil people, and their response, though, will be less love. Their love will grow cold. Which is why it's interesting that the very next verse is, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Isn't that interesting? That's the very next verse. The one who endures to the end will be saved. The very next verse, after God is saying, you know, at the end of time, there will be lots of bad people, and the natural response of most people will be, let's get them. But then the next verse is, but he who endures to the end will be saved. The person who does not say, let's get those people, they're bad, that's the true Christian. Yes, there are bad people. Yes, there are people that do evil, cruel things. But we are not, as children of God, to say, let's get them. We are not to hate them. They are still made in the image of God. Yes, they do bad things, and we will pray that they will turn to Messiah Yeshua. We want that for them. And we will pray that they will be forgiven by God. But it says, he who endures, he who does not hate, he whose love for even the loveless, the people who cannot be loved, the people who continue to love, those people who cannot be loved, who it is impossible to love, those who love them will endure. That's it. And I love you all. Oh, the other way around.